Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Well, good evening, Sunday at Fivers. My name is Aaron, or Elfie, and I'd just like to start by thanking Rod for this opportunity to come and speak, for, I guess, pushing me into the unknown, for God to speak through me. When I was reflecting on why I think it was because Alphaeus was used in it, and that's what jogged his memory. So turn to your neighbour and say, "Who is a Levi in your world that you do it?" Yep, real good. Now turn to the other person that you just ignore and ask them, "Are you the Levi in my world?" Yeah. All right. Here's a story of when I first came to Deep Creek on my way to meeting Jesus. It was in 2005 when my then girlfriend, Shannon, now my lovely wife of nearly 10 years, she had been trying to court me for some time, asking me, texting me, nagging me, faxing, homing pigeon. All right, I've gone too far now. Finally, I gave in to this girl that obviously was desperate to get to me. I guess persistence does pay off. She invited me to a carol service, which I thought would be the best way to dip my toe into the Christian world. So the Sunday arrives. I was a nervous ball of energy, not knowing what to expect. So when meeting new people, it's always good to have a plan when you're put on the spot. So my go-to things are usually the weather followed by sport. Sport always works, and then you could probably move on to what they do for a job. So I started thinking to myself, what would these people be like at Deep Creek Anglican Church? Would they be like Ned Flanders, conservatively dressed, combed hair, and say, "Ogly doggly"? Would they be ultra nerdy, with pen covers in their top pockets, and use big Christian words I had no idea about? Or would they be floating around the room screaming, "Hallelujah," every 5 seconds? Well, some of those things happen. I won't tell you which ones, but some of them happen. But as I walked up those stairs that I know all too well now, I was met with such loving kindness. Obviously, the people wanted to know, people knew Shannon and myself were dating and wanted to know, check out this secular guy Shannon had been stalking months on end. But I could see that the people had a genuine friendly manner to welcome me into a space where I wasn't comfortable and had never been before. And that friendly, loving kindness shown to me is what I now know as the love of our Heavenly Father shown through his people at Deep Creek to me. So have you ever thought about why people love sporting clubs, Scouts and Rovers, book clubs, cafes for skinny chai lattes? God built people for a relationship, to be in families where we belong and achieve together. Our achievement is the extension of God's kingdom in our metrons and spheres. Spheres. Oh, all right. So now looking back at the passage, we see Jesus is walking by the lake, most likely spending time with the Father. We see people wanting to listen to his teaching. So as Jesus is strolling, he sees Levi, the tax collector, the scumbag, the rip-off merchant, the most despised of all the Jewish people. He casually says follow to Levi. He gets up with no hesitation and they go to his house for some dinner. So imagine you're at the dinner table with all your disciples. You're eating and chatting with your new mate, Levi. probably about the weather and how dry it is this summer, and then the local sport of donkey races. And if that fails, what he does for a job. And I'm picking he got slammed on for his job on more than one occasion. Then out the corner of your ear, you hear a local know-it-all religious buff questioning your disciples about why you're eating with this scumbag. And like most of Jesus' rebuttals to them, he drops some truth on them about how it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Then mic drops, end of scene. Wow. Don't know about you, but that is straight savage by Jesus. So I have a question for you. What motivated Jesus to pick Levi out of the booth? What took Jesus' mind off his teaching to put his gaze onto Levi? As we know through the whole of the Bible, Jesus only did what the Father showed him. He came to reveal the Father's heart to people for people. Here's two passages that talk about that. John 12, 49-50. For I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is what the Father has told me to say. John 5:19. Jesus answered them this, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. This is probably the only healthy codependency relationship you should get yourself into. Jesus is showing us here that the gaze he had on Levi was the Father's love. And if we are called to be like Jesus, if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, what makes us any different? We need to strip back what it means to do as the Father shows and says. So I feel being under Rod's teaching for the last 10 years, there are certain standards you must live up to when getting up here for a sermon. Firstly, it's to take your watch off. So I didn't do that, so I'll do that now. Check. Secondly, it's to turn the lectern lights on. Check. You must always mention skinny chai latte extra hot. And last but not least, you must always have an acronym to convey your message. So here it goes. TLC. Now, I know the 90s babies in here are thinking in their heads, don't go chasing waterfalls. But no, it's not about that. Time, lordship, committed. So let's just break this down. Time. Alone time with you and the Father. No distractions, no noise, just you and the Father communing, deepening your relationship. Questions and thoughts. God is always up for a discussion about life, so he can teach and correct us through our journey with him. Listening. Just listening to him, no speaking. Not bringing lists and talking, but just listening to what he has to say. Soaking in his presence. Sometimes it's better to just say nothing. Just lay in his presence and wait for the Spirit to talk to you. All right, let's move on to lordship. Knowing our worth and identity comes solely from the Lord and is not in the world. Worshipping him with all who you are, in word and in action. And as the passage states, there is people watching our every mood, waiting for us to stuff up. Being thankful. Being thankful for Jesus and the Father's sacrifice. Knowing what Jesus did on the cross was the ultimate demonstration of the Father's love. Taking all your decisions through the Father. His way is the best way. We all will have testimony of how we took the reins, it failed. But when we put it back in his hands, he turned it into something good. Committed. Being codependent. The way I think of it is like this. It's like when you're first dating someone and you're on the phone with them for ages. And it all comes down to that bit where you have to hang up. And it's the, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. And then you're like, all right, we'll hang up on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, you're still there, aren't you? God wants to never stop the communication lines with us. It needs a lifestyle change of priority. The Father requires priority on our behalf. He wants us to put him first in everything, even in the things that God loves, like family, which he wants us to pour into. But a healthy you is one that puts God first. All right. Love has and will always stem from the Father. I believe we need the Father's input in our lives to love the Levites he puts in our lives. So I know what you're saying. You're thinking, sorry, you're not saying anything. Sounds great in theory, Elf. So go on. You go through this acronym and boom, we have the Father's heart. Well, no. Like most things, it's a process. The Bible is full of people and processes. From David ploughing the field to wrestling a bear and lion, learning in the journey to fulfill his mandate put on his life, to even Saul's conversion of hating Christians to being one of the heroes of the faith. So let's breathe in and out. As we know, God's nature is to lead us gently to grow, teach, and mature us. For me, it was a slow process, starting to delve into God's word, watching as passages and words would illuminate on the page, where when I'd read it previously, I would agree that it was a great message, but something shifted into the words becoming a reality of his love, wanting to talk to me, wanting to remind me that God's love was so deep for me, he sent his one and only begotten son to atone my garbage and sin. So from the word, I started getting hungry for more of him, to experience him in a real way. I went to a conference at Stairway with a guy called Leif Hetland. He spoke about having an orphan spirit, where we feel we aren't worthy to be sons and daughters of God. Even the language he used, like Papa God, made me really uncomfortable, because I had put up a wall around my heart, not letting God into it. So he did his sermon teaching on sonship and how we all belong to this big family, which was really great. So at the end, he lined everybody up around the whole church. He went around person by person, praying over people, and people hitting the ground in the under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I could see this Mexican wave of people coming to me. And I was saying to myself in my head, we're not going down here. We're not going down here. We're not going down. Boom, I'm down. I didn't even have time to process what had happened. My head was saying, I thought we agreed we were standing, but the Holy Spirit was saying, you just got touched by the Father's love in a physical way. That revelation of the Father sent me on a journey of discovery of relying on the Holy Spirit to speak into my life, to tell me the truth when my head says otherwise. The Father started stripping back the layers to reveal the true me, the me he had always planned and wanted. My identity went from what the world wanted to what the Father wanted. My old self was fading and the new self was appearing. Colossians 3:10 says this, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. I started to see the outpouring of the new self. Compassion, humility, gentleness, kindness, the things God wants to clothe us in. But more than all that, I had a hunger for more of Jesus. And I'm not saying that I'm good at always wearing these clothes, but I have a heart to make it right. What is not right. I really believe that the Lord is wanting to raise up a new generation of carriers of the Father's love, that we wouldn't point people to Christ in condemnation or shame, and that we wouldn't point out the sin in people's life, because we live in a time where the word sin hasn't got the same weight as years gone by. People want to belong. People want to be seen. My small group leader at School of Prophets has this little saying, people want to belong to believe. Meaning people want to be known, people want to be acknowledged, but we get the opportunity to make people see they are known by the creator of everything, the author. Gary Morgan also has a really good quote. People will forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Loving people is easy if we capture the Father's heart. So, how are you going to show the Father's love to the Levites in your world? And I'm not talking just about the pre-Christians in our world, but I'm talking about the people in the body that don't feel connected, that feel lonely. Ask the Father to speak into that part of your life for discernment and eyes to see, but have the loving compassion of the Father to reach out and love on that person. So now we'll just take a couple minutes. We'll just ask the Holy Spirit to come and point out those people in our lives. So Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would just pop the people that you want us to love in our minds right now. Thank you, Lord, for the people that you've popped in our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would be softening their hearts for you, Jesus. If it is a person in our family that you are highlighting, Lord, I pray that you give us encouraging words and a heart to love them like you love us. So are you wanting to let the Father's heart guide you? I feel the Holy Spirit is wanting us to ask the Lord for an encounter of the Father's heart. So I'm going to pray for us now. And if you'd like to receive the Father's heart in a real way, let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we want to mimic Jesus, do as he did. We know that we can't do it without you. We ask now in the name of Jesus, you impart a fresh revelation of the Father's heart on us, that our lives would be marked and changed by this new encounter of you. Take us deep into a relationship with you, so deep that we do not know where we start and you finish. Change the lens in our eyes to see the world like you do, with love and compassion and kindness. Give us words of wisdom and confidence to speak truth into people's lives. May we ooze your love to overflow. Jesus, transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. So I guess finally, TLC, time, lordship, committed. And I just want to use the little thing because I didn't do it earlier. Check. Think of this as the training room of the Father's love, to listen, learn, and then use that love to turn on the light in the darkness.